This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Thank you very much. All right. Y'all hear me out pretty well? All right. So, my name is Vince Barrow. I'm one of the nuclear medicine abdominal imaging faculty at UCSF. Just out of curiosity, how many of you know what nuclear medicine is? So I'll tell you, when I was a radiology resident, this is what I came to my mind. I was going to be working in this, right? It's going to be me, it's dating me as the Simpsons. But in reality, what is nuclear medicine? It's our ability to put radioactive material onto drugs and then watch that drug around the body. We can use it in various applications, anything from oncology, just physiologic, to cardiac. We do it every day, day in and day out. How does it work? Well, we get this compound, it goes in, it produces radiation, then we put them underneath special machines, and those special machines allow us to see the images, or we get numbers that gives us information about a part of the body. Now I'm going to focus in on a specific type. There's lots of different nuclear medicine. There's planar imaging, which just you sit underneath a plate and makes an image. There's SPECT imaging. I'm going to talk about PET imaging. It's a subtype of imaging that we are tracking a specific type of radiation. It stands for positron emission tomography. And it's dictated by the type of drug we inject into the patient. There's lots and lots of different choices, but we choose and tailor our application based on what we're trying to go after. In this case, just give you an idea of all the different compounds that have been studied. I mean, the list keeps going on. I could have put dot, dot, dots there, but for years we were going after all these different drugs. These are the ones that got FDA approved or have FDA approved imaging in prostate cancer. Why was it that we're going after all this? Well, because we're looking for specific targets. This is a cell. This is a cartoon cell of prostate cancer and all these different targets in which either we've gone after from a drug perspective or from an imaging perspective. Now, the story really started when I was a fellow back in 2012, the compound that got first FDA approval, choline. Story didn't stop with choline. Then came another compound called FACBC or oximin. And then Dr. Carroll was saying, this one really changed everything. In fact, the Germans were doing a lot of research with choline, and I was at our Society for Nuclear Medicine, and they showed their graph of using choline, and then they showed their first image of PSMA PET. They literally went, boom, it went off a cliff. They stopped using choline and switched right over to PSMA just because of how exquisite the imaging was. Why was us all this excitement? Why was all this push for this targeted therapy? Well, back in the day, back when I was a resident in radiology, we only had a few choices for looking at patients with prostate cancer metastasis. We had CT, we had bone scan, and we had MRI. As Dr. Carroll would test this, they had to wait until the PSA was almost in the 20s before they really started seeing true sites of disease. And then along comes choline, and when they compared all these agents, they found that that number dropped. It went to 1/20th of what it was back in 2012. FACBC pushed it down even farther. And now PSMA. PSMA dropped it down to 1/100th of where we were. So we are seeing patients with 1/100th of the PSA level where we were back when I was a radiology resident. So what does PSMA stand for? Prostate-specific membrane antigen. We'll talk about that S later. Why is it a little bit of a misnomer? It's a transmembrane glycoprotein that's expressed on the cell surface of various molecules, in this case, prostate cancer, which is 100 to 1,000 fold. I actually studied this back when I was an undergrad. I studied this because they knew about it. This was one of my senior thesis projects. Sort of funny how things come back full circle. There are three FDA-approved radio tracers. The one that helped with UCLA, UCSF helped bring to market was back in 2021, which was the gallium-based agent. Then there's the F-18. There's another one that's FDA-approved that we don't use. I don't think we use it much at all at UCSF. But the primary two that we use are these two, the F-18 and the gallium-based agent. Unlike all of its precursors before it, we have the ability to treat patients. So this little lutetium-based Pluvicto therapy, we have ability to knock off the imaging component, put on a therapy component, and that will be talked about in a little bit. So how do you prep for these? We just ask you to stay well hydrated, drink some fluid. You don't need to fast. I don't know if any of you have ever had a FDG PET scan, but they're telling you you can't eat 4 to 6 hours before your examination. Nope, take all your medications, drink your fluid, drink your coffee. Take all your medications. We give the medication IV. You wait about 50 to 70 minutes, and then you get your images. We only ask you to void prior to examination because of the fact that you got all that radiotracer going into the bladder. Show you a little schematic of what it looks like. So this is you getting this is the patient getting the drug IV. You wait about 50 to 70 minutes. You go on to a scanner. This is our PET-MR UCSF. This is what we do a lot of our biochemical recurrent patients with. And then we get our images. And this is where I come in as the radiologist. The technologist is the one who's going to be doing the imaging and the acquisition. I'll be the person looking at those images and trying to look for any sites of disease. This is what the normal image looks like. Lots of salivary glands uptake, liver, spleen, kidneys. Notice all the bowel and ureter. That makes it a challenge when we're looking for local recurrent disease because we're fighting what is ureter and what is bladder. Clinical indications for PSMA PET, it's really pre-treatment. This used to be high-risk-based patients. This has been going smaller and smaller. We're moving in more and more upfront in therapies. Biochemical recurrence, I think it's one of our most common indications that we do for imaging PSMA PET, either pre-prostatectomy, post-prostatectomy or post-radiation therapy, and then patients prior to getting treated because we have to make sure that it's expressing the PSMA on before they get their therapy. So let me show you some examples, some images. This is a patient that was a high-risk pre-prostatectomy. I think it was one of Dr. Carroll's patients that showed. This is what we used to do. We used to diagnose this. I'm an abdominal imager, so I'm a radiologist as well. I used to do multiparametric MR all the time. This is what a multiparametric MR of the prostate, PI-RADS 5 lesion, left gland. Now we have the ability on our PET-MR to take all those PET images and fuse them together with our MR images to be very confident. But then MR is pretty confident in where the lesion is. So how is this really beneficial to PSMA PET? This is something that made my jaw drop when we were looking at PSMA PET imaging. We would see things like this. I have to zoom it in to actually show you the finding. We see these tiny little lymph nodes that we would not see at any time in the or we would not call. But with the PSMA PET, it's a light, right? It's a clear light bulb, makes it very easy for us to make that determination of whether there's nodal involvement on the side of the cancer and helps direct therapies for that patient's. Here's another example. This is a patient. This is non-con CT. One small lymph node here, another one here, and a couple in the groin. Which one's positive? Well, this is what we used to have to look at when we're doing our staging CTs back in the past, when we have to state, okay, which one's cancer and which one's not. But now with PSMA PET, we can go very confidently, there's our tumor. Those other lymph nodes, nothing there. So we're very confident about seeing when we're seeing that is the tumor. That is, there is no other tumor in those lymph nodes. Even though on all of our other imaging, those lymph nodes all look the same. It is that ability to go after that cell surface PSMA expression and be very confident that is where the tumor is. So how good is it? Is it 100%? Are we seeing everything? Believe it or not, we're still not perfect. We're not seeing those microscopic sites of disease, 1 to 2 millimeter, 3 millimeter nests of cells. Sensitivity is about 59% based on some of the meta-analysis, but heck of a lot better where we were, better than CT and MRI. Even when we had multiparametric, or what is multiparametric? We're adding post-contrast, we're adding diffusion, we're throwing the gambit of everything at it on MR. PSMA PET still outperformed it. Here's just an example. This is a patient status post prostatectomy, PSA 0.8. This is why we get our PSMA PETs a lot of times on our PET-MR, because we're dealing with this. This is focus of uptake right in the middle. So what exists right in the middle right there? Something where when it was originally looked at on the PSMA PET, we're like, oh, look, that's just the urethra. Nope. The urethra was more anterior there. That was actually an area of focal recurrence. But having the two, the post-contrast PET and the PSMA The post-contrast MR and the PSMA PET makes us very confident that it's locally recurrent disease, not physiologic uptake in the urethra. Here's another example. These used to be languishing on our list because we're trying to fight all this artifact. These were all the brachytherapy seeds that we used to treat local. My dad got this for his prostate cancer. All these little seeds that are impregnated with radiation, but they cause a huge amount of artifact on the MR. What we would look for is these little wisps and ill-defined areas of enhancement. But the PSMA PET, it made it very easy, very confident that is the recurrence. And then we also were able to say that there's no other evidence of disease. Here's another example. It's another patient with status post-prostatectomy. On MR, we're looking for areas of abnormal enhancement. Abnormal enhancement in this area is white. That is an area of enhancement. PET made it, well, we're pretty confident on the MR. PET helped. It makes us a little more confident. But where the PSMA PET really shined in this case is here. We get the full scale, full body evaluation. So the patient would have probably been treated with local radiation, probably pelvic sidewall. But in this case, we saw this. This would not have been expected. Bone scan would have been negative in this patient, no doubt about it. But on the PSMA PET MR, we could clearly say the patient had oligometastatic disease with an area of uptake in the rib and in the thoracic spine. And these went on to be radiated. PSA after this went to zero afterwards. How much has we changed impacts? So this was a meta-analysis, and this has been done several times. About 50%. 50% of the time when a patient gets a PSMA PET, it altered patient's management. Why is that? Well, as I showed you in that case, it included new areas of treatment, especially on radiation or surgical approach. Big thing here, right? So patients that would have gone on to ADT or systemic therapy, we're able to give information to either Steve or Dr. Carroll to be able to say, look, this patient can go to surgery, this patient can go to radiation, and they could hold off on getting systemic therapy and try and just pluck off those lesions as they come on. Now I want to talk a little bit about some other cases. So this is a 75-year-old with PSA of 10.1, so very elevated PSA. These are always struggling cases for us as even abdominal imagers. This is anterior fibrillar muscular stromal tumor. I know this can be challenging to biopsy too because it's right in the path of the urethra. On MR, this is the classic appearance. We describe this as lentiform appearance, restricted diffusion. This is all classic. So the patient got a PSMA PET. And this is what it looked like. So I remember my colleague, this was a case back when we really first started using a lot of PSMA PET. It was Antonio Westphalen and I. We sat there and we looked at this case together. Was that uptake in the bladder? Was it misregistered? So we followed this one, even though it had no uptake to surgery. And this ended up being confirmed surgical cancer. So why do I put this case in here? It's because of the fact that while we'd love to say this is an end-all, be-all for staging, every patient is going to have PSMA expression, there are subtypes of cancers that do not have PSMA expression. So while vast majority, greater than 90% of them do, not all of them do. So it's not a, like, okay, no uptake, we're good. Conversely, we always are challenged with this. This is a patient with biochemical recurrence. We see this uptake in the rib. We look at these all the time in our tumor boards. See this intense uptake, this is all along the rib. As a radiologist, my first thing is to do is to look at the CT because of the fact that I'm looking for this. Rib lesions are quite common on our PSMA PET. A lot of times, and most of the time, it ends up being something not related to cancer, especially low-level uptake. In this case, it's an acute rib fracture. Why is there PSMA uptake? It's inflammation. When we get patients with various inflammation, infection, synovitis, fractures, it can all have some PSMA uptake. So that's why I'm going to come back to that S in the prostate-specific membrane antigen. Is it really 100% specific? No, unfortunately, it is not. It is found in other things. We always have to read within the context of the patient's case. We've seen lots of other malignancies. We've seen lung cancer, rectal cancers, cysts, head and neck, desmoids. We've had a hepatocellular carcinoma. But we see a lot of benign things too. Liver hemangiomas, schwannomas, sarcoids. We've seen fibrous dysplasia is always that frustrating one when we're dealing with the bone, trying to figure out whether it's a benign lesion or a malignant lesion. The way I always approach it, if it doesn't look classic for a metastasis or a metastatic area, I always think of other potential etiologies. Should be able to just show you some examples. This is a benign lesion. This is fibroblastoma. Atelectasis, this is this part of inflammation in the lung that doesn't expand. This is why you see a low level uptake. Here's an example of a different neoplasm having uptake. This is a schwannoma, and this is a head and neck cancer. In summary, PSMA PET has really changed our world as radiologists and as nuclear medicine in the clinical. It is exceptionally sensitive, even though when we get the super low PSAs, it doesn't mean we're gonna see it. I always take that caveat 2, 3.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, we still may not see it, but we can see disease at 0.2 and even at 0.1. Uptake is not as specific as the name would imply. There's lots of other things we have to always think about in the back of our mind when we're going through the examinations. And most, but not all, cases are PSMA avid. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Like the-
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.